Hi, this is Michael Dorn, Lieutenant Commander Worf from Next Generation and Deep Space Nine, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Tea, Earl Grey, hot.
It's time for another serving of Earl Grey, Trek FM's dedicated TNG show. I'm Daniel Proof, sitting in the center chair this week, and joining me as always are my two great co-hosts, Darren Moser and Philip Gilfus. Now guys, I know you're wondering why I asked you here in the Observation Lounge. Listen, I know you've been working really hard, and I want you both to know that I'm proud of what you've done, but I have the list here of everybody that made the cut this week. And, I'm going to place it here on the wall and walk away awkwardly. And, you guys let me know what you think.
All right, Darren, you look, cause I don't feel like I have to really. I've had gold stars, that I put on my wall every morning when I wake up. Cause you know what? I'm a star.
Well, I think there's a symbolism to which Enterprise model he pinned the paper underneath. And I think because he pinned it under the B, he's in a really bad mood right now. And I'm really, really, I'm worried. I can't look. I mean, it's actually a pad just stapled to the wall.
Which I thought was a little unnecessary because it breaks both the pad and now I can't see the display. In fact,
I mean, we do have this giant, like, you know, PowerPoint monitor over here to our left, but I guess, you know, I don't know. I don't know what he's thinking about this week, but lists sound good.
He must have watched Code of Honor recently, and really, I understand the rage.
Now I'm just picturing Daniel in the warp core screaming up to the skies as we jerk back shot up higher up the warp core.
Take me instead.
Does it sound like a Muppet? I don't
know. All right. Well, we're going to do something a little different for us today, something new for us, as in Earl Grey, but something that the other shows, some of the other shows on the network have done, starting with, I guess, what do we call them? Are they OG Standard Orbit? Standard Orbit 1.0? I mean, back when...
Well, see, there's the animated Standard Orbit. but it's still called Standard Orbit, and I just want you to realize that. It's still considered Standard Orbit. It's canon Standard Orbit.
So I think it was Mike that came up with this idea a long time ago, and he did it for Standard Orbit, and then To the Journey's picked it up since then, and...
To the Journey!
To the Journey!
And I know they've done a few on the Orb. Basically, we're going to be doing TNG Essentials. And the very first thing that we have to do, guys, is define essentials for TNG. I feel like maybe it's kind of a little grayer of an area than the other shows so far.
There's shades of gray.
I would say there's at least one or two shades of gray, yeah. So what do you guys think?
Like one of those paint chips you hold up to the wall and there's like five shades. And that
but they thing. All look exactly alike. I mean, it's like you can't tell.
Are we going for eggshell gray or are we going for...
So what do you think? I mean, I think we can get the easy stuff out of the way, right? If it is picked up either later on in TNG or later on in another series, because we lay so much foundation for the entire 24th century, I feel like that's pretty obvious that we would need that. But also, of course, essential TNG, I think also in my mind, I there are episodes that come into my mind that maybe be one-off episodes, but are just quintessential TNG episodes as well. What do you guys think?
I know you meant to say cute essential. Well, see this, and I'm going to get on a soapbox here. Okay. Oh, there it is. Wow, this is really shorter than I thought. I think all Star Trek is essential. And I think all TNG is essential. And so this very premise, I 100% don't believe in. Let me get off the soapbox. So, okay, so this is what essential means. Well, see, I think this is the harder starship to power by dilithium crystals for us. Because, you know, in To the Journey, Voyager's like, well, you know, what gets them home Maybe in the orb, you have the over arc and the story. You know, TNG, obviously, we're not, we have arcs, in which we've always pointed out here on Earl Grey, there are arcs. But, you know, we're not going to try to say we're not episodic. We are episodic. And so, I mean, I think what you said, Daniel, to a certain extent, I think continuity, obviously, is always going to be essential. But I think there has to be something more when it comes to TNG. It just can't be continuity. And I'm not going to talk any further about, you know, because I want that to be the discussion about what is it essential to TNG in this Earl Grey essentialness of TNG? Because it can't just be continuity. It has to be something else about what makes TNG.
Well, and I would say I have like two or three questions. One, first, I picture someone like Andy, like first time Trek, like this is a list being prepared for someone who has never seen TNG. I like that as an angle because that also starts to generate some context of what we should choose and shouldn't choose. And I have really been enjoying this type of series Into the Journey. And while they do have the, like Philip said, the following through line of getting home, they also have what develops character. So I think character development is an important thing as well. But one thing I just thought of is, do we want to also define it by what is setting up this 90s TNG universe? I mean, because we're setting up DS9 and Voyager, and yes, we will get later episodes that, let's just say, handle the Ferengi better or other things like that. But do we feel we need to include things looking at it at that aspect? I mean, they didn't know this was going to run for 15 some odd years straight in 87, but do we want to use that as a lens of what is built for the greater, using the lens of knowing what will come, the, you know, building the Federation, building species, things like that? Those are the kind of three areas I'm looking at. Not that we have to use all three, but
and I think there's
that's my train of thought.
And this is me, and I'm not saying y'all may disagree, and feel free to. But I think to me there also has to be for TNG-ness. And again, how do you define TNG? Obviously, no one person, no one fan. Everything TNG is different to everyone. But I think there are, because, you know, as we start, if we're doing this by season, obviously, which we are, you know, I can already see, even though, of course, I am a great defender of seasons 1, 2, and to an extent, 3. I mean, 3 doesn't really need that much defending. That, you know, it's, oh, well, that was the beginning. You know, yeah, there's some stuff that sets some other stuff up, but blah, blah. Season 3, let's start going, and we'll keep all those. But I think there are some essential, to keep using the word over and over again, elements of TNG that, like, and I'm just picking ones randomly. I'll do non-season 1, just, but like Measure of a Man, which though there may be other things about Measure of a Man that are essential, but like that encompasses what TNG is, like that episode. Now, is it set up stuff about Data? Probably, and characters, and but like just the essentialness of that's the TNG message and spirit. You know, of course, those are all going to be good episodes. I'm trying to think of, because the hard part about essentialness is that you may not always keep the good episodes and you may keep the bad episodes. That's always that's the criteria.
That's why we're defining it, exactly.
And I agree with both of you, but I will also say that fortunately for us, there's a bit of wiggle room. We don't need to define it so harshly because we don't have to deal with what if one of us agrees and one of us disagrees. We have 3 members on this show, which means we are going to follow a very simple majority rules as long as they're on my side. So I'm kidding, of course. Majority rules. So we get to just
this is
vote.
Why a even numbered Supreme Court doesn't work.
That's exactly right. So, you know, we actually, it was good to just kind of hash that out a little bit, but we don't need to spend a lot of time on it. Basically, if 2 of us feel it's worth sticking with, then we're sticking with it, and that's it. And that's how it's going to work.
Wait, is this going to be, Daniel, your ever, the thing you've wanted for forever, the battle section, you know, your battle bridge of like, we're just going to take this season 1, in this episode, I presume,
and
we're going to battle bridge it to the 3 of us, deciding which episodes live and die.
Something like that, yeah, yeah. Let's do it then. Let's start.
I'm going to put down my visor and shout incoherent Japanese at you.
I'm going to get my Q-tip. With a flashlight.
So let's start, okay? We're doing season 1 today, guys, and we're going to have a good time, and let's start.
I like how you say that in such like a parent voice. Guys, we're doing season 1, and we're having a good time. I don't care what anyone says. I'm not turning the starship around
to
eat your season 1.
Encounter at Farpoint. So
yeah, we lose it.
No, I feel like, I mean, come on. Like, you have to start and end with these these episodes, right? You have to start with the beginning, you have to end at the end. But you're going to always keep
them. I don't think Standard Orbit or TGJ didn't include the pilot. I mean, you kind of have to include the pilot.
See, I was not to turn this into a TTJ meta commentary Trek FM podcast. I was actually surprised they included the last episode because of how strongly they feel about it. I was like, why not just say, like, if Warp 5 does their essentialness, well, they included the last episode.
Oh, that's a good question.
Well, I mean, when we get to season 7, are we going to include, you know, the end of Enterprise?
Hey-o.
Okay, so we keep an encounter moving on.
Yeah, let's. I am actually going to remind. I'm going to read the synopsis of most of these episodes. I feel like Encounter doesn't need it.
Is this the Netflix summary?
These are the.
Let's go.
Yeah, these are the Wikipedia summaries.
Slightly better.
We'll see. But yeah, I mean, really, I feel like we're going to just kind of waste time saying, what do we keep Encounter? Of course we're going to keep Encounter. It introduces us to all of our characters. It sets up the show and it introduces us to Q. Of course. Come on, guys. Of course. But this actually already starts out. The next episode is actually an interesting, is something we should start with, right? So The Naked Now. The crew of the Enterprise find this crew of a scientific vessel dead. They soon fall prey to a mysterious communicable containment, causing the crew to experience symptoms similar to alcohol intoxication, threatening the lives of all aboard the ship. What do you guys think?
And that would be contaminant, just so you know, that's all right.
You're right.
I love how alliterative that is.
I didn't. I hadn't read these ahead of time, so forgive me. But go ahead, guys. What do you think?
So
The Naked.
I am going to be the liberal member of the Supreme Court, which is pretty much going to keep everyone in. So I'm going to go ahead and keep very short and succinct. Naked Now. We can be specific, but I'll just say generally. Establishes a lot of character motivations. You may not like the episode, but establishes a lot of character motivations. That's my piece.
Of what motivations is it establishing
that,
exactly?
It basically loosens the inhibitions, and so now is it a lot of follow up? Maybe not, but like Geordi, you know, certainly throws out that, you know, hey, I would, you know, enjoy being able to see like you. Yar, you know, yearns for some. Again, we may not like that, but I'm just saying what the episode does. Again, being value neutral, Yar, you know, yearns for another side of herself and another side of Data, wink. Or did it never happen? So it's not canon. And then you have Troy, you know, pining over Riker,
Bill,
possibly. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, whoever that is. And then you have Picard and Beverly. I mean, this is the second episode. You have pressure already in effect. And then you have Wesley saving the ship. So, you know, take a drink.
Also, Argyle.
Okay.
Actually, is he in this episode? Is he's not?
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's the.
I don't think he shows up till later.
Right. And Women at Warp, feel free to hit me. It's the lady engineer.
No.
She has a name, but I don't know her name. It's the lady engineer who's the chief engineer, and then the assistant engineer who is the guy who's like throwing the chips around. So.
Okay. All right.
It's in front of me. Thank you, Larry. And it's Chief Engineer Sarah McDougal.
Yes, McDougal. That's what I was thinking of.
Shimoda.
I would actually say that, yeah, based on alone, the Yar Data stuff is kind of important. I mean, we get a reference.
It is referenced.
We get a reference
in First
to this episode in First Contact. So, I mean, I feel like it kind of has to stay. But what do you think, Darren?
Well, I was initially going to say no because it, you know, it's, I don't know. It's in that wasn't this during like the writer's strike where they were basically directly recycling
it's
the TOS
episodes?
But, well, it's also, I mean, it obviously is very, very similar to The Naked Time. But no, I think Philip has a good point that, you know, we're still getting used to this crew. And even though we may not feel like this is the best episode, it does plant a lot of seeds that some pay off, some don't, but we do see, you know, it tells us what to keep an eye on. It's like, oh, you should watch for a possible relationship here with Picard and Beverly. Oh, you know, you should watch for Wesley taking over engineering again, you know. And for that, I think it does have merit, and it just kind of ekes over that line of essential. So I will give it a yes.
And then I have a question. For our essential things, because I feel like this will evolve over time, or possibly de-evolve.
Oh,
now, are we allowed to use
season 7 spoilers?
How much foreknowledge are we allowed to use in essential defense?
Well, no, of course, that's super. I mean,
because like in Naked Now, like I would argue, but of course it's a dumb argument, but like I argue like, oh, this develops characters, and then we're like, but it was never followed up on. So then did it really develop characters?
I would say we can use the knowledge, because otherwise we aren't going to be able to adequately decide.
Yeah, definitely.
What about the temporal prime directive? Knowledge of our future.
I mean, honestly, at this point, we're actually, you know, I think we're all in agreement here. We're actually going to stick with the Naked Now.
I never thought we'd say this. Yeah, that our first out of the bat. The
also,
Naked Now
really,
essential.
we haven't mentioned it, but ice linear chips play a big part of this episode. We see them all the time. So, you know,
well,
we're
true,
establishing
we see
the 24th century. Every time something is mentioned in season one, I'll be like, gotta keep it. How else do we know what a saucer separation is?
Oh, I'm pretty sure they used a replicator. We'll definitely keep that one. Actually,
you're watching the other episodes going, what is this thing? What's happening?
To play devil's advocate to your position right there, Philip,
Daniel, whose advocate?
Beklar's.
Beklar's advocate.
Let's start, or let's go next with Code of Honor.
Never happened.
Lieutenant Yar is abducted by the leader of a people who abide by a strict Code of Honor, hence the title, which requires her participation in a fight to the death. Anything?
I'm just saying, this is where I'm pulling my trump card, if you will, in the game of poker in Riker's room. I think we are allowed to take out these things that should never have happened. Now, so can we argue there's
should
stuff
we just
about
remove
Yar?
All the Yar episodes just to erase her character from existence?
Yeah, and so I'm going to say I would like to use the card that I'm going to have one per season to say this one obviously never happened, and it shouldn't have never happened. And so in Code of Honor, I'm saying never happened, but I am merely one voice in this triumvirate.
It is not good
stuff. I mean, is there anything that you can remember or think of worth salvaging at all? I mean, nothing worth the whole picture in my mind that I can think of.
I mean, it's
and besides, you know, foreshadowing anything or whatnot, again, I'm trying to picture someone who's never seen Trek. And I'm like, okay, we're going to start from the beginning. I sit him down and I'm like, I'm not going to show you everything. I'm just going to show you what I feel is essential. I would skip this episode.
Right.
Because I don't feel it's not giving the essence of good Trek for a good first impression. We're on episode 3. So we need to make a good impression at this point.
Right. And one thing I do want to say is I always want to try to be value neutral about, oh, it's a good episode. It's a bad episode. Like, you know, I don't know, maybe, Sub Rosa will be
essential.
Deemed essential or something. But like, this isn't a bad episode. It's just like in your soul offensive episode. And so that's like Time Zero may be deemed essential, even though some of us may or may not like it. But like Code of Honor just can't happen if we are doing essentialness. I mean, just.
All right, then. So surprising absolutely zero listeners. We have dropped Code of Honor, believe it or not. So that's actually our first, but we're only on episode 3. So let's keep moving. Court of Honor is the third episode, right?
Yes.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Because I copied this all into a spreadsheet, and I want to make sure I copied it right. Okay.
Well, it's technically the fourth because
they
count
encounter.
The
next episode that we're going to talk about is The Last Outpost. An unknown force immobilizes the Enterprise during the Federation's first encounter with a new alien threat, the Ferengi.
It's that unknown force. And the laser whip.
I mean, I feel like this is kind of important. I mean, I know it's not great, and this is kind of like the quintessential definition of the episode's not great, but it does do something pretty important.
So here's I'm open minded about this episode, but I would play Feckler's advocate. And I just need some help here. When is the next Ferengi episode?
I would say, I was just thinking that, the battle. Episode 9.
So, can you introduce the Ferengi in the battle? And I'm not saying change the battle. I'm saying, you've never seen Last Outpost.
Yes.
The battle happens. Can you be like, who is it? Oh, okay, I know who these are.
Yes, you can, because in the battle, Picard didn't even know that this battle, the Battle of Maxia, had happened between him and Ferengi. You absolutely could erase this episode from existence and just use the battle as an introduction if you wanted to.
And I don't think in the battle they ever say anything like, oh, the last time we met these, you know, it was, I think you're right. They do a much better introduction of the characters. We see their ships. Well, I mean, we saw the ships before, but I mean, we see inside their ship, we see, it's not just a white.
No, it actually is. It still is. Because they still don't pay still for that, like chairs or extras or anything. But, yeah.
But there's big circles of spheres, right?
Right, right. But no, I feel, yeah, I would say just for that, I think that gives us an out with the last outpost that we can hold off introducing the Ferengi still in season one, but in the battle.
But guys, one important thing, and I'm actually kind of on the fence about it too, but laser whips. We lose laser whips if we do this. And it, Daniel, which doesn't actually matter, but it does come back in Enterprise. Not that it's a super Daniel. Important part of it, but...
We'll always have laser.
All right, all right. I agree. Yeah, let's get rid of it. We don't need to keep it. All right, that's it. That's it. Last outpost is gone. Next up is where no one has gone before. Warp efficiency tests send the Enterprise traveling far beyond known space, where the crew's imagination takes on real form.
I mean, it does have a good ballerina scene in it. I mean, that's kind of essential, you could say.
I forgot about that. That's a great reference. That is a great reference.
I mean, that jump cut between her and the ballerina outfit and being in a normal Starfleet outfit, I mean, it was seamless.
In the cargo bay.
Like, I couldn't tell. In the cargo bay. I don't know. I mean, we get the Traveler.
Yeah, and that's important. The Traveler trilogy. And Wesley, then you have too. Wesley being made acting sweater. Mm. Or well, that's not what it's called.
And Argyle.
Ensign, which is a legitimate Starfleet rank. You can look it off the charts. It's right there above crewman. Below full ensign is acting ensign.
Well, but like we said, yeah, I mean, Wesley is given a lot of character development in this. It's more developments were told at him. As far as what the Traveler says, but yeah, it is there.
To me, this is an easy keep because the Wesley stuff and the Traveler stuff.
Yeah, and I think it establishes that a starship can pretty much go across the galaxy and come
not
back
just,
in the same day. I mean, that's going to be
not
essential.
Just across the galaxy. It goes like four galaxies over and then comes back. So,
I mean, that's some sort of record. I don't think that's ever been beat.
Yeah, keep. I think we're keeping it for sure.
Oh, so, yes, I think.
And it's literally in the name of the preamble, where no one has gone before.
Yeah,
that's true.
Next up, Lonely Among Us. An alien entity possesses Dr. Crusher, Worf, and Picard while the Enterprise is transporting delegates from two feuding planets. This is actually the only episode that features an alien entity possessing Dr. Crusher, Worf, and Picard. No, that's not true. That's,
no.
That's a lie. That's totally
yeah.
Meh. I honestly can't think of a reason to keep this one.
I'm trying to remember. I always mix these ones up with some of the other times that people are taken
okay,
over.
Okay, well, yeah.
Oh, okay, this yes. is the Antikins and Soleil.
Yes, it is. And this is the
okay.
one.
I was thinking this was do drugs one at first, but no, that's different.
This is the one which I love. I mean, if no one has seen this episode or doesn't remember it, watch it again. Because I love that something happens in this episode, which really should be made reference like every other episode, that Picard existed as a energy being. And then, like, we'll never talking about that again, ever. Like, you would bring that up. Like, hey, Picard, remember that time you were an energy being? No. Doesn't really ring a bell.
Well, and we get that great sensor diagnostics room with
yep,
the light pen.
True.
I mean,
it's true.
Which we never see again,
yeah,
but still.
I mean, is there anything worthwhile in here, guys? I mean, to me, it's one of those forgettable episodes. It's like, I mean, it happens, and
it really is.
I guess it's okay while it's happening, but nothing really of consequence comes from this.
Again, that whole thinking of someone who's never seen Trek, is this... If I'm wanting to hook them, and this is only a couple episodes in, I don't think this one would do it.
I am looking at my notes, and I just want to bring up something that happens in this episode. I'm not saying you should keep it because of this reason, but let me just read a little note here. Seen as a still unnamed security ensign was actor Colm Meaney, where he'd been given a command division ensign. At least here he'd be given the mustard-colored uniform he began to sport in season 2. So for the first time in this episode, O'Brien is in yellow. I'm
just
throwing it out there.
You can
I'm saying there's continuity in 7 years of Deep Space Nine. But if you guys just want to chuck it out the airlock, it's fine.
If he didn't show up in yellow this episode and showed up the next appearance that he has, it wouldn't bother me. I let's get rid of it. It's boring. It's whatever. I'm not going to judgment call the episode, but it's not essential. There's nothing going on that...
The dress uniform.
Yeah, okay. You're still not
here. And you're like, why are they wearing skirts when they show up again?
Get rid of it.
I'm running my fiery descent.
It's gone. No Lonely Among Us. Sorry.
Now we just jump right to the battle, right? There's nothing else.
Oh, this is going to be an interesting quest for justice. Wesley breaks an idyllic world's trivial law by accidentally stepping on flowers and faces the death sentence. So I will let Philip just go ahead, Philip. Just talk about it.
What? I mean, is there even an argument?
He's like, I prepared this 8-page document I shall recite in Namek pentameter.
I mean, is there even an argument? What possible argument would there be?
The only reason I can think to keep it is that it kind of lays out TNG's version of the Prime Directive.
That is true. It is actually a good core Star Trek mythology, I guess. No, that's not the right word. But just that culture of what we're expecting from these federations, you know, it is pretty well established in this one. I'm not opposed to it.
It is essential TNG. Everything that the show is about is in this episode. You have the Prime Directive. You have the use of religion and God. You have Picard, how he handles a godlike being, the ethics, the speech he gives.
He becomes a godlike being later, so I guess that's
how
continuity.
He saves a crewmate dealing with Beverly and Wesley, his illegitimate son. You have Yar.
Whoa,
Riker.
I don't remember that being in the episode.
You have Worf being established as a stolid, sexless person. This is essential stuff that will come out throughout this series.
Darren, before you get to talk, I'm sorry, I don't want to be rude, but I can't decide, so I'm going to let you be the deciding factor. You're either with Philip or you're against him. So I don't know. I go either way.
I think in the essence of harmony on this podcast, I kind of feel my hand.
You are going to be the Edo god in this episode and decide.
You mean I can be destroyed with one photon torpedo?
I don't know. What do you think, Darren?
No, I think it's a good episode for all the reasons and more that Philip has listed. So we've talked about this one a lot on Earl Grey. I mean, probably at least once an episode for the last 140 episodes, I'd say.
Daniel, but it's a sex.
I know. I actually do. That would actually be the most convincing argument to me. Believe it.
It really is.
Darren, you got to know your audience.
For a lot of reasons.
I'll talk about the Prime Directive when I'm trying to convince you.
No, to be honest, for a lot of reasons, yeah, that is, to me, one of the most important things here is both the cavalier attitude, the sexual attitude that the planet's inhabitants have, and then how Starfleet reacts to that. I do really like that. All right, you know what? This is Earl Grey, and Philip votes yes so hardly that he has convinced us enough, at least. That we'll keep it. Justice is essential, TNG. You heard it here first, folks.
So that means so far we are batting a little over 50%.
We're very close. So next up is the battle. A Ferengi captain returns the abandoned Stargazer to his former captain, Captain Picard, who experiences severe headaches, begins to relive the Battle of Maxia, in which he lost his ship. I'll let you guys talk, but I feel like we've already discussed this. If we're going to introduce the Ferengi, I guess it's, right?
The other thing that would make this episode better is if you use the soundtrack from Patton on top of it. I always picture that for some reason when they start talking about, like, especially when he's doing the flashbacks, you know, I just want to hear, like, the whistles in the background, and he's
Well, here,
but no, yeah, no, it's a good Ferengi episode, and it gives us some backstory for Picard, and it shows our captain at a moment of weakness that he has to overcome. So I think it's really good Trek.
And not that I'm saying this is a reason to keep it, because I don't think continuity should always control, because just because it's mentioned again doesn't mean that second mention's any good. But there's an episode in season 7 that's kind of depends on knowing this episode. I'm not saying
if we keep that.
Yeah, I know. I'm just throwing that out there.
No, but if that was the only true. Like hanging, the only hanging Chad that we had at this point.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm bringing it back. I'm bringing it back.
Take the references back.
Take a bow, sir. Take a bow.
But it's not. It's
kids ask your parents,
not,
but
yeah. Because again, we pushed the Ferengi into this episode. But even if we didn't, even if this was the second introduction of the Ferengi, we have the Stargazer, which is super important. We have the Picard maneuver, which is also super important. I mean, this is...
It's
direction. I mean, this is actually important stuff that you need to know. I mean, I think we're pretty...
And we do see the Ferengi later.
We do?
I mean, we're not going to cut out all the Ferengi episodes.
Well, and I think that, to me, I mean, the Last Outpost does establish it, but I think the battle also establishes Ferengi mores. In that when you have the first officer to first officer discussion, he is like, you know, the daemon has been released because he is not, you know, engaging in profit, you know, wink, you know, and so.
And Riker's all like, we have no money.
Next up is Hyde and Q.
Now, don't look, guess.
I was just going to say, if you had let me, I was going to say, Q dresses the crew up as the cast of Robin Hood. No. Of course, no. Q returns to the Enterprise to tempt Commander Riker into joining the Q Continuum with the lure of Q's powers. This is tough for me. This is tough because I actually kind of have a soft spot for this episode, and I really think there's a lot of character stuff at the very end. And I'm going to make one plea for this episode, and I'll let you guys choose. But the speech that Picard gives Q about Shakespeare is one of my all-time favorite Picard speeches, and it's so good. I mean, is it Shakespeare? What did I say?
Well, no, I was just going to say it's not really a speech; it's him just reading Hamlet. But no, I'm with you.
Well, he definitely, it's definitely speechy because you know what Shakespeare said with irony, I say with conviction. Hamlet, I mean, it's Hamlet. It's so good.
What and a piece of work man is! How noble and sweet.
So you know, I'm not entirely like, but I would say it's worth keeping for that. But
Daniel, if you are using Essential Trek, that every time Picard gives a good speech, we have to keep it. I 100% back you up.
I appreciate that.
You know, this is, and I would actually like to watch this again because I think inherently, I always think, and I'm a season 1-2 defender, apologist, but this does really get to be like, ugh, not so good. But I am ambivalent. Why not? Because in some ways, because now, and again, I'm not saying continuity for continuity's sake. Q does mention this, or Picard does mention this, or Riker does mention this in the next Q appearance. They're like, the last time you were here, you offered to make Riker a Q, and Q says something like, oh, and too bad he didn't make that decision. So, you know, that does now make sense. But yeah, I'm ambivalent, so I will. Yeah, I see no reason not to keep it. Being the liberal justice, I want everything to be in.
So what do you think, Darren? Hyde and Q, how do you feel about it?
Well, yeah, I mean, the speech is good. And, I mean, we do enjoy Q. I'm kind of thinking the same thing with the Ferengi. Like, when's the next time we see Q? It's kind of almost once per season, so I don't think we see him. Or else in this...
Not until he loses his powers, I don't think.
No. My gentleman, season 2.
Oh, the Borg episode. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, so we don't see him for a while.
Well, I mean, it's next season. It's the next season, but...
But like at the end of that.
That's true.
Oh, no, you're right. That's not the end. I'm thinking Best Both Worlds. That's just... I guess Q is such a fan favorite too. I mean, he's such a great character, even if it's not in the strongest of episodes. Like, it's a good, most Q episodes are good no matter what.
And it establishes I don't know if you see them, but at least metaphorically, you see the Q continuum in this one.
I mean, we're not being the Scarecrow yet,
right.
But
because they're, you know, Q breaks his word or whatever, or at least, you know, Picard says, "Ah, I see the continuum has something or whatever," and they're like,
"That's true."
So it sounds like it's a keep.
Yeah, we can keep it.
All right,
it's a QE,
and it starts our Q based puns. So
not the greatest of episodes, I think we all agree, but important to watch nonetheless. Next up is Haven. Lwaxana Troi visits her daughter, Counselor Troi, and prepares her for an arranged marriage. Now, this is interesting because Lwaxana kind of throws a wrench into it. My inkling is to say drop it. If we can drop the first Ferengi episode and push that introduction later, I don't think there's anything super important here that we can't push to the next Lwaxana episode.
Do we know when the next Lwaxana episode
no,
is?
No, I think it might be second season, but Manhunt would be the next appearance if I'm correct.
Yeah, I think that is second season.
Of course, you're missing a running joke if you drop Haven, because of course in Haven, Picard picks up her suitcase. In Manhunt,
yes.
Riker picks up her suitcase.
Yes.
Okay, that's not that big of a...
And we do get Armin.
No, it's
Hammerman.
A big suitcase, Darren. It really is a big suitcase.
Okay, well, we got to be essential. We got to be cutthroat. We got to make the tough decisions.
I disagree.
Command isn't for everyone. Yeah. We have to make the tough
You're
calls.
You're the conservative justice on this panel, Darren. I'm the liberal. I'm letting them all through.
I say cut it.
Yeah, I think we can push Lwaxana. I mean, Lwaxana's a great character, but we can definitely, I think, we can push.
I mean, this does
one.
Show us a little bit about Betazoid society. We have establishing the thankfulness gong.
Essential track, Philip.
About.
Yeah, it's cut. No, we're cutting it. Sorry, Philip. It's cut. It's officially been cut. Next up, the big goodbye. A computer malfunction traps Picard, Data, Dr. Crusher, and, of course, everybody's favorite, Waylon, in a Dixon Hill holodeck program set in the early 20th century.
Do we even have to talk about that? This, obviously.
I say keep
obviously.
It.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
First
I mean,
contact.
It gives the, it's,
I mean,
it's first contact.
Well, and it's also the holodeck.
It's the holodeck. It's, I mean, it's, there's.
I mean, besides Wesley getting splashed in the pilot, like, this is where we really see the holodeck.
I mean, this is important for all of those reasons. I don't think we need to, unless anybody, I mean, Cyrus Redblock, right? Great character that comes back. Oh, wait, never mind.
We get him stepping out. Well, because he stepped out and he's like slowly evaporated.
Right.
Out.
And if you ever see the series Voyager with a doctor who can't exist outside. Oh, wait, that's spoilers. Never mind.
Yes. Don't listen, Andy. Don't listen to Philip. So yeah, we're gonna keep the big goodbye because it's specifically mentioned by title in First Contact. We can't just leave it alone.
I love that we have First Contact corollaries. Anything mentioned in Star Trek First Contact is essential.
I mean that joke with the
Ferengi,
you know, gorilla.
So we have to keep encounter. That's the only reason we're keeping encounter.
All right, let's keep. We're doing good. Let's keep moving on here. Data lore. The Enterprise crew finds a disassembled android identical to Data at the site of the Omicron Theta colony where Data was found, which was destroyed by the form dubbed the Crystalline Entity. That android was called B4. Oh, I'm sorry. No, that's different. Totally sorry. That's different.
Yeah, no. There's an opposite corollary called the Nemesis. We'll discuss it later.
Data lore, go.
I mean, it's Data lore. It's the background of Data. It's the Crystalline Entity. It's Brent Spiner playing two roles. I how could you not keep
it's lore.
This? It's lore. It's Data and lore, and the episode's titled Data Lore. It's like so on the nose, it's ridiculous.
And I will argue or posit that for those who are season one haters, watch Data Lore, and that is a season one episode.
Yeah, I mean, how do you not keep Data Lore? I mean, there's so much introduced here that we, you know, and Wesley saves the ship, which is kind of unusual. So it's nice to see that, you know, but
Data's off switch.
Data's off switch too. Yeah. There's, yeah, we're keeping it obviously,
which will come back in measure of
Crystalline Entity Silicon Avatar.
Yeah.
We definitely aren't going to push Data's backstory into the next episode. We see it in, we gotta have,
yeah, no, this is like Data Origins, right? I mean, this is,
which is my
Data first,
which was
class.
My favorite separate movie spinoff he did. So,
so So I feel like we're going to have a very similar reaction to the next episode, but maybe a little different. Angel 1, the Enterprise visits a world dominated by women to rescue survivors of a downed freighter.
Well, I don't know. Go ahead. I remember writing my reaction, but I don't remember feeling my reaction when I did my rewatch. Because I mean, I'm in like I'm almost like in the last season of Deep Space Nine now. So season one TNG rewatch was a while ago, but I remember writing, "Yeah, Angel One, no," or words to that effect.
Yeah,
like, I don't remember feeling that it was that bad, but I remember writing that it was that bad. So
I would definitely say it's not essential. It doesn't. Nothing that's really established in any of the characters or any of the moments really comes back into play. And it, yeah, I don't think this one was a miss.
Yeah. Drop it. Nothing good comes from it.
More like Angel Zero. Never mind.
More like,
and speaking of zeros,
exactly. We move on now to 11001001. The Bynars upgrade the Enterprise's computer and space dock. Riker and Picard become distracted by a surprisingly realistic holodeck character. You know, I was a little... I was a little
future
nervous.
Future imperfect will make no sense.
Yes. Yeah, we have to keep it. We have to. And...
which, of course, we're going to keep future imperfect just for the comm badges. That's a given.
And not only do we get future imperfect...
the throwing star comm badges.
But we also get...
okay, well, we have the we established the self-destruct sequence for the ship.
I know what it is. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah.
Not only do we have
and it can only be 30 minutes.
Not only do we have Minuet in this episode, we also have Data in command. This is the first instance of Data in command, I believe. And you know, he kind of owns it, I got to say.
Cuz isn't he in command when they evacuate?
Yeah. He's in charge of the ship
later.
Because the two hoo-has are ha-haing in the holodeck.
Because they're in the holodeck where they can't be reached, so Data is like, evacuate the ship. And...
it's like a tunnel. It's a dead zone, okay? Communicators don't work in there.
Well, it's on a it's on a separate power source, guys. So
it's set to privacy mode, if you know what I mean.
Incognito mode.
Do not disturb.
Yeah, we should keep this, right? This is great. This is good stuff. And... we get to see the terrible inconsistency of space dock doors. Nah, don't get me started because I'll get really heated about that. But yeah, we're gonna keep the Bynar episode for sure. Next up, too short a season. The Enterprise transports a legendary geriatric admiral who must once again negotiate a hostage situation involving
McCoy?
A man.
I don't even need to say anything. I'm just gonna say
no.
It's an interesting, I mean, to me, it's an interesting concept because it's very, ask your parents, it's very Iran-Contra. I mean, you have, you know, which is, you know, this is 1987 here, so that's a very modern story for the time. You know, you have the admiral, he ended up, like, selling arms for hostages, and now... The guy he sold them to or is now leader of the world who wants the guy to come back because the weapons he sold has destroyed that world. So, I mean, you know, it's a modern telling of the TOS sort of spirit. Is that enough to save it? Perhaps not. But again, that's what when we're arguing essential TNG, that's the essential TNG-ness. You know, we didn't necessarily do it as much as TOS of doing the, you know, ripped from the headlines issues, Law and Order style. But I'm just throwing that out there as at least a... attempting a defense of this episode.
Right, but you wouldn't keep it, would you?
I mean, there's nothing I can really that jumps out at me. It's other than bad makeup chop.
Yeah, no, we're gonna drop it. It's dropped. It's gone. It's dead.
Oh wow, that was that guy. Anyway, so this is, I don't know if you remember the guy who played the bad guy in this episode. He played the Klingon who taught Scotty in Trouble with the Tribbles.
Oh, really?
I say the Enterprise was garbage. I meant to be hauled away as garbage.
As garbage. Oh, wow. That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Anyway.
See, I didn't even need to say anything.
No, we dropped it.
I really stood.
It's gone.
Yeah. Or like too
next
short
up
of discussion.
Is when the...
Hey-o.
Next up is When the Bow Breaks. A planet formerly existing only in legend uncloaks and requests help from the Enterprise. The planet's inhabitants are sterile and want to adopt children from the Enterprise by force, if necessary.
Not a terrible
it is,
episode.
Kind of
well,
is.
Well, what I like about it, or at least what I appreciate about it. No, I mean I don't not like it, but what I appreciate about it, this is our first depiction of children in the 24th century and children in a starship, which is unlike any other Star Trek. There's only one before, I know. It's like any other Star Trek before, you know, the NCC 1701.
Yeah, we could just wait till Rascals and we get a great show.
Five kids in that episode, and three of them are the main characters. I mean,
that still counts.
I mean, we get Wesley being a leader. I mean, you know, Picard's ever-evolving attitudes and relationship with children.
His attitude towards children would be the only thing that would even moderately push me. But there's just nothing.
But there's better instances of his attitude later, like disaster and stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
but this is the fabled planet of Aldea, the myths and legends.
We're done.
No. Merge. Two to one.
It's done
Phillip.
And it's gone.
More
Phillip,
like when the credibility breaks.
I cannot wait until Phillip's.
You're gonna make a pun about every episode.
I can't wait till Phillip starts arguing against us. There's gonna be an episode, and trust me, it will happen in season two. I know it for sure. There will be an episode that Phillip wants to drop, and maybe we don't all agree. Anyways, let's move on. Home soil. The crew of the Enterprise discovers a crystalline life form with murderous intelligence that has been killing the scientists on a terraforming project. I have to say, I actually reject this premise. I don't think that those beings were on a murderous intelligence. I think that's kind of mischaracterizing them.
I feel like that's an...
Well, that's what a Class M planet is, murderous intelligence.
I feel like Ugly Bags of Mostly Water would make that comment.
I like this episode.
Yeah, this is a great episode.
Whoa, cowboys. What makes it essential, though?
That Data could totally hold his own in a laser
Data
room.
Data can fight a laser, yep.
And it's very Star Trek, like the discovering the way they deduce it. I mean, it's one of the first mysteries where Picard and everyone's like trying to figure out what this crystalline, which I just noticed that this is the second time we've referenced the crystalline entity. Like, they kind of seem a little surprised that life could exist like this. I'm like, wasn't there something that destroyed Data's planet?
Yeah,
basically?
But where
have we forgotten?
Where were the children's pictures about this one, though?
I mean, right?
Exactly.
This is essentially the Devil in the Dark of TNG.
Yeah, right? And, or is it just a bad copy?
Okay, you know, I gotta be honest. I have a soft spot for this episode. I really love this episode, but I have to be honest and say I don't know that it's essential. I can't think of anything that makes me hold on to it other than the fact that it's a good story.
That's a good point. It is a good episode, but essential?
All right, I vote.
Okay.
It's not.
I think we gotta cut it.
I guess we can
it.
Cut
yeah.
it. All right.
Oh, man, I'm so sure it's gonna be a no.
All right, next up, coming of age. While Wesley takes the most intensive academy entrance exam of all time, the senior staff of the Enterprise are placed under investigation by Starfleet.
This is the one with the psych test,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And
we have to
Commander Remick, conspiracy will not make any
sense. We have to keep it for conspiracy, right?
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. I mean, besides, like, the kind of Wesley plot, like, I can't even remember the other
Commander
plot.
Remick investigates Picard to find out if he's loyal and Admiral Quinn's on board because Admiral Quinn's investigating the conspiracy before he's taken
yeah.
over.
Well, should we jump ahead and decide if we're going to keep neutral zone? Keep conspiracy?
Well, no, I think conspiracy.
Are you arguing, Darren, to get rid of conspiracy?
I'm not. I'm just saying, like, they even note coming
Wait,
of age.
Darren, can you turn around for a little bit? I just need to see the back of your neck for a moment.
nice.
This has always been here. What
no,
are you
talking we
about?
We have to. I mean, we have to, right? Our my vote is keep it. We have to for conspiracy.
So you're going
to
keep coming of age over home
yes.
soil?
Yeah,
100%.
I mean, 100% as essential Trek. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel this time it's 2-1. I'm getting downvoted, but we will keep it.
All right.
Not only are we keeping track of what episodes we're keeping and taking away, we're also all personally keeping track of how many times we've been outvoted.
And also, I mean, it is important to Wesley's character as well. I mean, that's actually the center.
I mean, it's even in any other seasons. Like, we should be paying more attention to Yar. She's going places.
Spoilers about what's coming up.
Yes, next up is Heart of Glory. Fugitive Klingons seeking battle attempt to hijack the Enterprise and ask Worf to join them.
Okay, I just want to say one thing. Klingons smuggling TSA style a disruptor onto the Enterprise in the most elaborate breakout attempt ever. I mean, that right there is worth it.
This is where I'm going to throw this out, and I'm not arguing for or against. I'm just saying this. This, I would say, is a parallel to The Last Outpost. In other words, what's the Riker Klingon episode?
It's the first time we see.
Yeah. But what's the Riker Klingon episode?
You mean the first episode that we ever did together, Philip? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, well, it's not called Bird of Prey Selfies. What's the name of the actual episode?
I totally remember the episode title. That's why I'm avoiding answering your actual question. But
it's something about honor, glory, or something. But anyway, my argument is this. If you took away Heart of Glory, because I actually don't think it's a great Klingon introduction of the 24th century. I think the Riker Klingon episode is a better introduction to the Klingons of the 24th century.
Yeah, I agree with that, actually.
Okay.
I mean, because I mean, and I'm not saying to take away Heart of Glory. I'm just throwing that out there. Because, I mean, there is stuff. We get the death howl, right, which we'll see throughout Klingonhood.
It's just a death howl.
And you get these sort of, what's really also going to be the Klingon storyline throughout the whole thing, of sort of the, for lack of a better word, liberal Klingons, you know, hey, we're friends and peace, versus the conservative Klingons who, we need to return to our warrior ways, which is the entire of, like, TNG, Deep Space Nine, and, you know, everything else Klingon storyline. So, I mean, I'm just saying, if you got rid of it, you could still introduce the Klingons later on. But I'm ambivalent about this one. I could keep it. I could take it away. Either one.
That's a good argument. Yeah.
Wow, I'm split too. Honestly, I don't.
Now, I mean, this is now, and I'll now Feklar this. So this is a Worf episode, obviously. Do we feel like if we take this? I mean, again, we have foreknowledge. There will be some episodes about Worf's tortured relationship between Klingons and Starfleet, but I'm saying this is the only season one episode that this is going to be mentioned.
Right.
So,
well, I'd also say, yeah, I mean, besides the Klingon society parts, I mean, we get a lot of Worf doing his job. I mean, like, when they escape and are running around the Enterprise, I mean, the way they system, like, we see a lot of ship operations.
It is mildly insulting in this episode. Is it Riker who's like, you know, Captain, are you worried about Worf? And Picard's like, yeah. I mean, like, really? Because I'm not. I actually think. But.
It's
almost a coin flip.
I'm gonna drop it.
Does anyone have a coin? I would honestly want to do a coin flip right now.
All right,
we don't have any money in the century.
No, I have a die. I have a die.
Okay,
come back, Darren.
Oh wow, are we gonna do even odd?
Well, no, we'll just do 1 to 3 and 4 to 6.
Oh, wow.
Now, does it matter that the coin has a stormtrooper on it?
Okay, no.
Now, I don't know, Darren. Actually, Daniel has a better one. He has a die.
Well, I had a die, but it doesn't matter. He went and got the coin. Let's let him do it.
Okay, coin.
Okay, so
you tell us, Darren.
So heads is the stormtrooper, and that is keeping Heart of Glory. Tails is the Empire symbol, which is
so. Shouldn't
not
the Empire
keeping.
Be for the Klingons?
Okay, fine. Tales of the Empire symbol is we're keeping our.
By the way, Tales of the Empire is my favorite Klingon novel.
And just to lay this out here, so that all of our listeners understand, Philip is representing keeping the episode. I am representing dropping the episode. Darren is undecided. We're going to find out right now where we at. Keep or leave.
And we're keeping
all right.
It.
All right. All right. All right.
Ah!
See, we let the fates decide. That's how Earl Grey does it.
So apparently we are, you know, the fact that we have three people doesn't actually protect us from having these kinds of difficult decisions.
We get one coin flip per season, okay? That's the new rule.
One coin flip. All right, next up, the Arsenal of Freedom. Trapped on the surface of an abandoned planet, an away team becomes...
Geordi in command.
I don't need to finish
the synopsis.
And also saucer separation.
Saucer separation. That's immediate one. Yeah. Like, do we even have it? Like, you see that thing break away, keeping it.
All right. I mean, should I even read the synopsis entirely for the next episode as well? I mean, okay.
No. I think we should not keep it. And then you're like... Where'd she go?
Well, we don't even... Okay, well, hang on.
Wait.
Before we get there, let me just read it. Because Philip is making a joke, but there's like jokes on jokes we can make here at this point. Let me just actually read it. Next up is Symbiosis. Picard tries to mediate a trade dispute between two neighboring planets, one of which is the sole supplier of a drug to treat the other's apparently fatal disease. This is the... Star Trek The Next Generation Drug Abuse Resistance Education. So it's STTNGDARE episode.
If you dare.
Yeah, drop it.
This is my argument for keeping it. This is the Prime Directive in effect. This is my justice corollary. Because you have a Prime Directive conundrum. You have Dr. Crusher showing her... her character and her passion. And you have Picard being like, da, 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 but you have this very quirky ending, which is sort of, is it the Ensigns of Command? But basically like the Shellyak episode, a little quirky, Picard figures out how to solve everything. So you have this sort of symbiosis of where, you know, he sort of cuts the Gordian knot or whatever you phrase, metaphor, you simile you want to use. And also, by the way, not that this is necessarily an argument for keeping it, you have great callbacks from Star Trek actors. You have a Star Trek 2 actor, and then you have a Star Trek 3 actor. You have David, Kirk's son, and then you have Khan's number one in this episode. But anyway, I just throw that out there.
Yeah. No, you're right about those things that you said that are right.
Those were all words you mentioned.
Symbiosis, yeah, it's... I mean, yes, it does have the Star Trek-ness of it, but I could also just... I don't think we're going to miss it. Like, we get a lot more better examples of Star Trek-ness coming
up. But Darren, why would someone take something addictive that wasn't good for them?
Yeah, no. Nope. Yeah,
you just say that, Wesley, when you're playing the game, okay?
Philip just sealed the deal. It's gone. It's gone. Next up, Skin of Evil.
Where'd she go, guys? Where'd she go?
I mean, did they, thinking forward, did they actually explain where Dr. Crusher went in the beginning of season two?
No.
Or did she just disappear as well?
Well, she walked up into the room. No, I don't know.
An evil, tar-like creature holds Troy hostage on an alien world. During the rescue mission, one of the Enterprise's crew...
Yeah, you know, blah, blah, blah. Moving on.
We have to keep it. I mean, we have to. I mean, it's...
I mean,
in all fairness to Denise, we need to keep it.
I mean... Is there any other... It's like, is there any other episode in Star Trek where a bridge member... is killed? I mean, there's one in Deep Space Nine, obviously.
not counting Khan, because that's a death trap. You don't want to sit in that chair.
But I mean, it is. It's. I mean, you can't not keep this. This, and I feel like we've kind of come across this more in TNG season one than a lot of these other, you know, Star Trek essentials that I've listened to. But I feel like it's just. As much as people say that there's a problem with this season, it is establishing so much. And I mean, we just can't. We cannot leave. Skin of Evil is not a great episode. But I mean, it's important to Star Trek. It's important to, I mean, it sets up so much. And what else can you say about that?
Hey, Daniel, I really wasn't.
I mean, Data, something's got me. You got to keep that.
Data!
Daniel, I really wasn't listening to you because you didn't begin your sentence with what this episode taught me.
So I think, yeah, we're right. voting
and
yes.
Could you have the Windows 95 background when you're talking? That's really going to...
Oh, I see you're trying to figure out the essentials of Star Trek TNG Season 1.
Boing!
Would you like some help?
Is it a Mr. Tricorder pop-up?
Okay. We'll always have Paris.
You guys are going to say no. I know you're going to say no to this.
Hang on. Let me read it.
You're just going to say no.
Hang on. Picard meets an old flame whose husband has been affected by an accident involving a dimensional experiment. Yeah, no. Nope. Drop it.
I've watched this one so infrequently that when I see screenshots from like the part where Data's got the canister, I'm like, what the heck is this
from? There's three Data's in this one. He's playing himself multiple times, guys. I mean, what do you want? What do you want?
The end is good. The end is solid.
Yeah, but it's not the whole episode.
And it's not worth the rest of the episode.
And it establishes Picard's, the decisions he's made in life about... romance versus career. I mean,
you know what?
It shows 24th century Paris.
If they had made that character, the same character from Tapestry, you know what? Maybe there would be an argument there. But there's just nothing. There's just nothing in this episode that matters.
That's true. They don't tie it back in the future, which they could, but they didn't.
Nope, it's gone. No more.
No, we'll never have.
All right, we've got two more to go, guys. Let's do it. Conspiracy. This strange.
There's so many episodes back in the day.
I know. It's crazy. The strange behavior of high-ranking officers leads Picard to uncover a conspiracy within Starfleet.
I think the fact that the entire synopsis in Wikipedia, which includes which earlier prompted the investigation of the crew and coming of age, which we kept, kind of says.
No,
it
I don't
right
want to keep
there.
Conspiracy. I fooled John to keep him coming of age.
Yeah, I mean, right. You have to. I mean, if we're doing coming of age, but even then, like, this is such a crazy episode.
Well, and I'm highly biased because it was the first episode I remember seeing.
I mean, it just has an explosive element to it.
What other TNG, what other Star Trek episode does anybody remember where somebody's explodes? I mean, come on, it's so cool. Yeah, no, we're gonna keep Conspiracy for sure. But Conspiracy, which was intended to be the season finale, it's interesting. Let's follow it up, guys. How do you feel about the neutral zone?
I lose it.
A derelict satellite is found containing cryogenically frozen humans from the 21st century as the Enterprise is sent to investigate the destruction of outposts near Romulan space.
This is one where I really don't like this episode. I really don't. I think the human 21st or 20th is stupid. I don't like it at all. But for continuity's sake, which I'm not saying continuity for continuity's sake, but this is basically the Borg. I know it doesn't say it's the Borg, but this is the Borg.
It is.
But even though we know that, do we really need it? Like, could we just end this season, this season on Conspiracy?
Now, here's my question. This is where, well, I mean, you don't have to, but this is, when do the Romulans show up again? Like, in other words, we are doing our introduction of species. So my argument has always been, if...
I mean, that is a really cool shot when they decloak and it's like, oh my gosh, they're a giant ship.
I do really love that scene, and I love the Romulans. I'm split. I agree with Philip. I don't necessarily care at all about, I'm Samuel Clemens, and I'm sorry.
Sorry, you said I don't care.
No,
and then just ultimately
replicating
follow.
A guitar.
Guitar guy. Yeah, no, I don't care anything about these guys, but... sets up the Borg, sets up the Romulans. I mean, it is. I mean, it's.
Oh, wait. The next time we see the Romulans is Contagion, episode 11 of season 2, I believe.
Yeah, I mean.
Where we get the female Romulans.
Doesn't really introduce them or say that they've been sort of silent for however many years.
It's just like they're there. And it's like, oh, look, it's the Romulans in their big old
Again,
ship.
Again, with the combination of the Romulan introduction and the Borg introduction, how much more TNG can you get than those two species?
I mean, the Borg, were they really that big?
Well, according to the First Contact corollary.
I'm going to keep it. I'm saying keep it.
I'm saying reluctantly keep it.
Yep, I say keep
it. Or are you going to have some sort of neutral zone about how we feel about this?
Okay, so there are 15 yeses in the 26 episodes, which, if I remember correctly, means there's 11 noes.
All right, so we have kept 15 out of 26, which is a 57% of season one. Can you believe it, right? The most derided season of TNG has an over 50% rate of important episodes that you kind of need to watch.
Essential.
Not till season seven will we get beneath that percentage.
Well, now it's actually reduced to the number of episodes they would have actually had in the real world.
Yeah, that's true. In its direct-to-Netflix era of 15-episode seasons.
It is kind of mind-blowing, right? That, you know, I do feel like there's a lot of negativity put on TNG, early on especially. I'll admit, I'm part of that group sometimes, too. There's not a lot. You know, there are difficulties in the beginning, but it's really amazing to go back to the first seasons through this lens and say, hey, what actually matters as far as Star Trek continuity goes? And hey, guess what? More than half of these episodes are so essential that your local Earl Grey team decided that you needed to watch them.
Well, back on the neutral zone, I think that's a really good point. And this one was the most interesting season that I was thinking, like, I was curious on how this one was going to come about. Was it going to be half? Was it going to be, you know, a third? But no, I think that's almost 60%. I mean, that's a pretty good haul for, you know, the 26 episodes. So, nope, I think it's a good start. And so that means the next seven episodes of Earl Grey are going to be essential.
No. I hope I will stop everybody's expectations from that. That's not what's going to happen. But we will visit each of the seasons in this lens. It is interesting because, you know, I'm a little nervous that, 57% with season one. I'm like nervous that season three, my favorite season, is going to be like 22% or something like that. We're just going to drop everything and it's not going to matter. But it's cool. It is interesting to see these adventures through this lens, like what matters the most if you look at Star Trek as a whole. So I do actually think this is a really cool concept for sure. All right, Darren, when you are not busy being part of the essential Trek FM, what are you up to?
Be it ever so humble on Earl Grey. No, they can find me also in another essential, filling in the gaps between TOS and TNG, with Aaron Harvey on Saturday Morning Trek every fortnight or so. I get on that show. It's good. But no, we're talking about the animated series. And they can find me on Twitter under username Dr. Sci-Fi, where I talk about science fiction and staying up in the middle of the night. Because, you know, that's going to be happening a lot.
Okay. And Philip, when people want to talk to you about being cut for, you know, for a string team like Wesley was in Coming of Age, how would they get a hold of you?
They can find me on Twitter, or my handle there is NC Public Servant. That's NC for not continuity, because it's essential what I bring, and maybe I should just have my own spinoff. I'm just saying.
Nice.
You're saying next week we're all going to have solo shows?
I'm just saying that would fit me to a T.
Well, they can find me if they want to talk to me about, you know, being first place on Twitter at one of Dan. That's the number one, not the word. Guys, we will be talking season two TNG Essentials sometime in the future. But, I mean, there are a ton of shows that people can listen to. So here's just a look at what you may have missed elsewhere on Trek FM.
Essentially.
Essentially.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit. And I'm saying this in a really good and loving way. Sometimes some things can't be unseen, but there is nothing cooler than Disco Bones. I mean, I know it's we're supposed to be in the 23rd century somewhere, but that was squarely 1970-something.
Oh, yeah, sure. It was perfect. The orb.
And you paused for a bit thinking about it, and then baseball.
Yeah, you would have thought I would have got that since I have one on my desk.
That's right, you too, yes.
Yeah.
Which you often fondle as we record the orb, I must say.
Well, I wouldn't have chosen those words, Chris, but let's just move right along.
To the journey!
I mean, I remember when this thing aired, I just thought, okay, they really are going to go through with this thing. They've been hinting at it for almost a year now, and this is actually going to go forward. I guess the joke was on me, but it gave me a lot of freaking hope and a lot of fanfic ideas.
Literary Treks.
One of my issues I had with this whole series is as a graphic novel, is I was expecting one continuous story. And each chapter was an issue that was separate from each other.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
You can listen to every show on the network at Trek.fm with links for iTunes, streaming services, and a direct download link. This week of Earl Grey is brought to you by Audible.com. This is a great way for you to read all of the books you want to read but never have time for. Audible is always expanding with over 150,000 titles to choose from. There are classics, current bestsellers, and famous Star Trek books like Prime Directive and Federation. Audible has something for everyone. Now, as a Trek FM listener, you can get a free audiobook of your choice along with a 30-day trial to try out Audible yourself. So give it a try today. Catch up on all those classic Star Trek books you've yet to read. To support Trek FM, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm and sign up today. Again, that's audibletrial.com/trekfm. Thank you, Audible, for supporting Earl Grey and Trek FM. If you are a weekly listener and would like to directly help Earl Grey, please consider becoming a patron of Trek FM. At patreon.com/trekfm, you can choose a pledge level and receive rewards for becoming a Trek FM patron. You'll be inside the Observation Lounge of our network, able to participate in our monthly patron roundtable podcasts, and supporting the production of all of our great content. We would like to take this moment to thank our current patron associate producers, Stephen Boyd and Ron Sarna. Thank you for supporting Earl Grey. Connect with other Trek FM listeners on our Facebook discussion group called The Babel Conference, found through the Facebook search field, or like the facebook.com/trekfm page for show updates and announcements. The network is also on Twitter, at TrekFM. All right, guys, well, I'm going to go and kind of start to reflect on Season 2. I mean, I know it's going to be a few weeks until we start to get into it, but I'm kind of amazed where Season 1 started out. So everybody else, all of our listeners, please start watching Season 2.
Now, which one of our listeners are essential?
All of our listeners are essential for them. We will catch you all next time. Engage.
Make it so.
Live long and prosper.
Fire.